Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, which says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." There are two different topics that are found here. The first topic has to do with being near to your God, and the second topic has to do with how you were brought near to your God. With regards to being near to God, it's important to see that we have a God who wants us to be near to Him. Unfortunately, you probably have noticed that most people have no interest in being near to God, and this has to do with the fact that if you are going to be near to God, there is going to be an exposure of the truth and the exposure of reality, both of which go together. But what this means is that people are going to have to live more in reality and in a way that is more consistent with the truth. This tends to be unappealing to a lot of people because it turns out that in many circumstances of life, it just so happens that to be dishonest or to live in a false reality or to encourage a false reality can be easier than dealing with reality and dealing with the truth. When it comes to solving the problems of life or when being confronted with some conflict of some kind, people will have a tendency to choose whatever is the easiest to solve the immediate problem that they are confronted with. And in many cases, to lie, to be dishonest, to pretend that things are one way when they really are something else, to do this can often be easier than to just simply deal with the truth and to deal with reality. In most cases, it turns out to be a temporary fix because after a while, people will start to recognize what really is the truth and what is reality. And when they see that they are interacting with someone who uses lies, manipulations, dishonesty, denial of reality as a way of solving the problems of life, then that relationship will tend to end a lot sooner than what you would expect otherwise. But because people are usually looking for what is easier, they're looking for what is going to require less effort or what might result in less pain when it comes to the solutions that are needed when there are problems and conflicts and issues in life, people will have a tendency to just go ahead and choose dishonesty, lies, and denial of reality. So when it comes to being with your God, we have a God who does not live in denial of reality. And He doesn't have any tolerance for that which is not true. He lives in the truth. He is about the truth. He wants to have real, genuine, truthful, honest relationships with other people. Those are the kinds of people that He wants to have near to Him, those people who are willing to have that kind of relationship with Him. So most people are not interested in being near to God because you can't fool God. You're not going to be able to deceive God or lie to God or manipulate God. That's not going to happen. They definitely would like to have a relationship with you and with me and with others who are not God because they can use those tools when it comes to solving the relational problems of life. So while God has a sincere desire to have people near to Him, you'll find that most people have no interest in being near to their God. But that's okay because the kinds of people who God wants to have near to Him are the kinds of people who want to be near to Him, which means that they are going to want to have truth and reality in their lives. And so that's the first topic, is the topic with regards to the desire of God to have people who are near to Him. In verse 13, who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's the second topic, and that is how a person is going to be brought near to God. In most cases, what you'll find, especially within the religious world, which tends to be filled with a lot of people who have a desire to be near to God, what you'll find is that the approach that people will take is they will say, well, I need to be holy. I need to exercise the doctrines and the teachings that will increase holiness in my life. And what all that comes down to is that I need to know what is good, what is evil, and I need to know what I should be doing and what I should not be doing that would be consistent with those definitions of what is good and what is evil. And then through my behavior, well, then I will change into a different kind of person, supposedly, who God will want to have in His life, and so I can be near to God because I am a good person, because I do not do that which is evil, I do that which is good. This is the approach that most people will take. And I'm just going to summarize this and say that this is a life of living by the law. And it doesn't really matter what the law is. In fact, you'll find that with every person that you encounter, they all have their own definitions of what is good and evil, what is right and wrong. And if they don't want to tell you up front and right away that they have these definitions or they have this standard, they have this system of law that they live by and that they evaluate and judge the rest of the world by, all you have to do is just wait. Just wait long enough. And eventually they're going to say something like, that's wrong, or that is good. And that will help you to understand what their definition is of good and evil. It'll help you to understand what their idea of the law is to be in their lives. Just about every religious institution, every church, can be defined according to the standard or the law that they live by or that they encourage other people to live by. You'll find that the overwhelming majority of the world lives by a system of law in order to establish or sustain your righteousness, your holiness, your right standing before God, and perhaps your right standing before others. But this is a belief that people have, that if they will be obedient to the system of law that they have adopted, that they have embraced for themselves, there is this belief that they will be nearer to God than, of course, somebody else. They will be closer to God. They will draw near to God because, of course, God is going to want them to be in His life just because they have become a good person. And this is the problem when it comes to living your life by the law, whatever law that may be that you have embraced. The problem is that you are asserting your right standing before God by yourself, by your obedience, by your repentance, by how you live, by what you do and by what you don't do. If that was to be the standard, really, the real standard by which God would determine if you were going to be close to Him or not, well, there are many ways that you will fail, many ways that you will not be as holy as holiness requires. You will not be as perfect as God. Comparing yourself with somebody else, which is the only thing that these people can do. When you pursue a life like that, the only thing you can do is compare yourself with somebody else. And certainly you'll be able to find lots of people who won't be as impressive as you are, but it still will not be impressive enough. God will not be impressed by such efforts that people go through, even if they have accomplished more when it comes to controlling their flesh than other people do. It is a desire that people have that he accept them on this basis. The people want God to receive them, to allow them to be near to him on this basis, because they can assert that their righteousness is based on themselves. Their holiness is based on themselves. Their right standing before God, the fact that they are near to God, is because of them. Not because of God, it is because of them. Therefore, what they are doing is they are asserting religious pride, is what it really is. It's a form of religious pride that is appealing to a lot of people because it establishes their value, their worth, their identity by what they have been able to accomplish. So when they draw near to God, they draw near to God on this basis, on the basis of course I am here. I belong here. You need to have a place for me here because of me, because of what I don't do, and because of what I do. But this was one of the purposes of the ministry of God himself as the Lord Jesus when he was here on this earth, to show people, to explain to people that this was never going to be the way that he would allow anyone to draw near to him. If it was to be the way, then perfection is required, and no one will ever be able to achieve that kind of perfection. His disciples eventually saw this, and they asked him the question, how is it that anyone could be saved? And his answer was, of course, with men this is impossible, which means with you this is impossible. He was referring directly to a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life of living by a system of law. That's why in verse 13 he says that people are going to be brought near by the blood of Christ, which means by the forgiveness of God. That's how people are going to be drawn near to him, is by his forgiveness, by him not holding their sins against them. When it comes to a religious person, they just don't find that appealing, because they're going to have to confess that they do have a need for forgiveness. But of course, not as much as you have a need for forgiveness, because they have gotten some things kind of right. You know, they don't need forgiveness for a lot of stuff, just for those few little things that they have not quite gotten under control yet. But for the rest of these things that most people need forgiveness for, because of course, remember, they are comparing themselves with other people, those other sins that need to be forgiven, they will not admit that they also struggle with some of those sins. They do live in a form of denial of reality. They do not live in as much truth as they pretend to often live in. The point is that they will need less forgiveness than someone else, or at least this is the belief. This is the perception that people have of this nature who live by the law. The perception is that they have less of a need for forgiveness. And in fact, just give them a little bit more time, you know, a little bit more time to grow and mature and get their flesh under control more and more, because the longer that they can go on and practice the faith, the longer that they can go on, the less they will have a need for forgiveness. And the belief is that they are becoming more like God, more like Jesus. But what is really happening is that they are going further and further away from God because they have less and less of a need for God. They have less and less of a need for forgiveness. The less you have a need for forgiveness, the more you are being pushed further away from God. By what? By your own efforts, by your own decisions, by your own belief. All of this is happening in your own mind. Another way to think about this is that if you were to look at the leadership of a church, you know, if you look at the leadership of the church, what do they tend to do? I mean, what is their role in other people's lives? In general, people look to the leadership of a church to instruct them on how to get their flesh under control, to do what is right and not do that which is wrong. You know, when you first get saved, you might need a lot of Jesus in your life, just to say it that way. You know, you've got a lot of sin, you're not holy, you're not righteous, you've been in the world, your flesh has been dominating your thoughts and your life, but now you've come to Jesus, you need a lot of forgiveness. You know, you need a lot of Jesus in your life. But don't worry, give it a year or two and you'll start doing those things that are good. You'll stop doing some of those things that are evil. And you know, before you may have needed maybe 90 or 95% Jesus in your life, but you know, after a while, you maybe only need 60 or 70% Jesus in your life, because the other 30 to 40% of your life is somewhat under control, you know, is somewhat righteous and holy, and you're a good person now, and you're a nice, good Christian who does what Jesus does, that kind of thing. What would Jesus do? And then just keep working at that, and after a while, you know, maybe a few more years later, you might have your flesh under control to the extent that maybe you only need about 30 or 40% Jesus. You know, you've got about 60 to 70% of your life under control. Then you're doing pretty well, you know. Then maybe we could let you be an elder in the congregation. You know, maybe help people find their seats and help answer questions and stuff like that. And the hope is that you're going to continue to mature until maybe you only need about 20 or 30% forgiveness in your life. Because you've got about 80%. Maybe 85%, maybe 90% of your life is doing pretty good. You know, you don't sin hardly at all anymore, just on those rare occasions. Do you have a need for Jesus? And what this means is that the more and more you grow and mature in the faith, the less you have a need for Jesus in your life, the less you really have a need to be near to Him to obtain His forgiveness, because you've got your flesh under control, you know, pretty well or better than most. And now that you do, well, now we're going to have to make you part of the leadership of the church, and so that you can explain to other people how to become just like you. And all of this results in one thing, and that is that you are further and further away from your God, because you are drawn near by the blood of Christ, by His forgiveness. But if you don't need it, well then, you don't need to be close to God. That is what happens. That is the direction that a person goes in when they decide to live by the law. There is another way of life, and that has to do with resting in the reality that we have a genuine need for absolute forgiveness in every aspect of our lives. And while, yes, there are occasions when we don't sin, we can be thankful for that, but that doesn't mean that it will never happen. Those sins that we get tempted by or that we have engaged in the past can easily happen once again, because that is the nature of the flesh, and until we physically die, it is always going to be present. If we are going to grow and mature into a different kind of person, then this is going to have to happen in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of our condition, in the midst of our need for the forgiveness of God. And this is why we are drawn near to Him, why we can be near to Him, because of His forgiveness. When we rest in the forgiveness that He has given to us, we can be loved by our God. We can be accepted by our God. When you're living by the law, you are never really accepted by your God. You're never loved by your God, because there's always that one little thing or two little things or 20 little things, whatever those things may be. There's always going to be something that will relentlessly remind you that God is disgusted with you, with regards to these sins that you deal with, and that people are not even going to want to talk about, because if other people knew, well, then that would be held against them as well. But when you are honest with God, when you are truthful with Him, when you live in the reality that we are really in, then we can be loved and accepted by our God because of what He has done for us. And then the new way of life becomes a life of living by the inheritance that we have received as children of God, a life of living with what He has given to us, living with the love that He has for us, with the acceptance that He has for us. When we live with what He has given to us on this basis because of forgiveness, then we will find ourselves able to say no to the temptations of sin because the temptations have to do with the deepest needs of our hearts with regards to love and acceptance and other things. When we are fulfilled in these areas by our God, then it is easier to say no to the temptations of life. It is easier to say no to the temptations of sin. So you will see a reduction of sin in a person's life, not because of the determination to live by the knowledge of good and evil, or the determination or the conviction to live by the law, that which is right and wrong, but because you are living with what you have been given from your God, with your God who is in your life, who then meets the deepest needs that you have, which will enable you to say no to the temptations of sin. So there will be a reduction of sin. But for those people who live by the law, they have something to claim, supposedly. They now have their religious pride with regards to what they have done. But for those who live by the inheritance, we recognize fully that it has nothing to do with us saying no to the temptations of sin in terms of self-effort or conviction, but it has to do with saying no to the temptations of sin because we are at peace with our God, because He has forgiven us of all of our sins, and because He loves us and accepts us perfectly. That is a completely different way of life. Now, this life was not possible until after Jesus died and rose from the dead, because this is the new covenant, and the new covenant did not go into effect until after Jesus died. So this is a new era of time when this way of life is possible between the resurrection of Jesus and His return. But during this time, most people are rejecting the covenant that He has established. So the only alternatives have to do with either living for the indulgence of the flesh or living for the restraint of the flesh. And this is what Paul is referring to here, is the people who live by the restraint of the flesh, who live by the law. This law needs to be taken down. This law needs to be removed because it is a barrier between people and their God. As I have explained, there is this belief that it will draw people nearer to Him, but it doesn't. It's just a belief. It is something that needs to be removed. It is a barrier between people and their God. And I will continue with this into verse 14 in the next message.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.